this might be a little vague, but I would say listen, like seriously, listen to what she is saying, and just really, you know, be willing to try out different things. You know, it might be like today, this might be what we're planning on doing, but that plan can change depending on, you know, what we're going through with, you know, like for us going through the course and learning new things. And I think it really comes down to what mom is feeling and what, you know, mom really wants. And I do think it is a joint decision, but I think you really need to listen to mom here.
Getting pregnant and giving birth are two of the most exciting things you can ever hope to experience in this life. The moment you think you could be pregnant, you're frantically searching for all the best information, which is why you're here today. I'm Stephanie King, and with my many years of experience as a professional childbirth educator, doula, and lover of all things pregnancy, birth, and postpartum, I'm here to make preparing for your birth enjoyable, empowering, and totally easy. Each week, I'll cover different topics, interview professionals, and get into the nitty-gritty birth stories from mamas just like you. And when you're ready for more, you can join me in the My Essential Birth course at myessentialbirth.com, where I take you step by step through exactly how to prepare your mind, body, spirit, and partner for a birth you love. So let's get started. It's time. The My Essential Birth postpartum course is here. Whether you're pregnant, just got baby home, or weeks and months into postpartum, this is the course for you. No more wondering what's normal for your body postpartum, if baby's eating or pooping enough, or how to get a good latch. You now have an all-in-one resource where you can click a topic and get the answer. Learn more at myessentialbirth.com/postpartum and add it onto the My Essential Birth course for even less when you bundle them at checkout. Already in the course? Check your student library and add the course for the same discount. I can't wait to support you on your postpartum journey. Okay, it is time for the reviewer of the week. And this week it is Kristen Mansky. And she says, I recommend you to everyone I see, pregnant or not, which is so fun. I love that idea. I'm not sure what it would do for those that are listening that are like past pregnancy and don't want to talk kids anymore. Or maybe, I don't know, some guys that aren't married yet. That could be a really fun way to pass along the information. I'm sure that they would love that. But keep it up. She says, first, can I say, if you are here, send to a friend. This podcast could not be more amazing. I just had my second baby, my VBAC baby, successfully with an induction I did not want, but was needed due to preeclampsia. I felt so knowledgeable throughout the entire process. At one point during transition, I said, I feel like I'm going to throw up. Once out of the contraction, I looked at my doula with so much joy and said, ah, I feel like I'm going to throw up. Because of my knowledge from this podcast, I knew I was in transition at that point in my labor. For those of you who are listening, that was the second round was an excited, oh my gosh, I'm going to throw up. And that means I'm getting closer to having my baby. That was a happy moment. She says, I can't thank you enough for what you do for mamas. You are amazing. I love this review, and I love that you had that experience, because I think I've shared it before. That is one of my favorite parts. Like any person that has like been involved with birth, doula, labor support, anything like that, when a mom is like, I don't feel so good, you know, I can't do this anymore, all of that, we all kind of look at each other. Her eyes are closed, she's focused, and we're like smiling, like she's right there, you know? So yes, that is a very exciting time. So very cool. If you haven't left a review yet, please go do so. Absolutely love it. Helps other moms hear about this podcast. Today, I have another birth story for you guys. I could not be more excited. These have really become some of the favorite thing that I get to do on this podcast. And I have mom and dad here with me today, which is just the best. I talked with Brady just for a moment, very quick moment before we jumped on here, just saying thank you for being here. I think more and more dads need to be able to share their side of the stories too, so that other dads can hear. It's not this like weird foreign thing that happens. Dads go through birth with mom. So with that, Alicia and Brady, we take a moment and introduce yourself, please.
Yeah. So my name's Alicia, and this is my husband, Brady. We have one baby, and he's about a year old now. So we're still on the journey of being parents, but it's been good. I am mainly a stay-at-home mom, but I also am a hairstylist on the side. And
Yeah, well, obviously I'm Brady, but I work for a local credit union here. I'm a VP over our risk management audit process, so been doing that for a while. But anyway, Alicia and I, you know, got married back in May of 2020, or March of 2020. Yeah, sorry, March of 2020. I'm in trouble now. March of 2020, literally right before COVID hit.
Wow.
And so we were able to have our wedding, have our honeymoon, and then we came back right into COVID. So, yeah.
It was great timing.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's one thing that I haven't, like, I've talked to a lot of moms who are like, I've gotten pregnant during COVID, or, you know, graduating mm-hmm. seniors during COVID. Getting married during COVID is a new one. That's a new story. That's something for the books. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, tell me a little bit about what that was like. Like, you get married, and then how soon after were you talking baby and all of that kind of stuff? Or did you kind of put a pause on that because of the craziness of it?
Well, we were going to wait a few years. Mm-hmm. I actually started hair school relatively soon after COVID. And we were still not planning to have kids yet. And it ended up just kind of happening on its own, which was awesome that we didn't have too much struggle with that. So we were super, super blessed and excited. But it was a little bit of a, woo, okay, direct, you know, change course. Yeah. Anything you want to add?
Trying to think right now off the top of my head. You know, we went into this thinking, yeah, we're going to have a couple of years. And I'm trying to think how we decided to, trying to remember.
It just kind of happened. And the moment I thought, oh my gosh, I think I'm pregnant, I looked at podcasts, trying to learn and prepare, and found My Essential Birth and was like, you've got to start listening to this with me. And his reaction was kind of like, all right, you're like, we don't even know if you're pregnant yet.
Yeah. I was like, really? What? We got enough going on right now. I don't know if I want to do this. But yeah, we listened to a couple episodes. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. And then when it came time to talk about purchasing the course and going through that, she definitely had me convinced. So awesome. We're like, okay, let's do this. Let's do this together. So, I do know, you were diagnosed with what, PCOS when you were 16 years old.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she was on birth control that entire time, between that and to before we got pregnant, you know, she,
over 12 years.
Yeah. 12 years. And wow. So we were doing some research, and she had decided to, you know, let's get off of birth control. Let's see how long it's going to take, you know, her body to adjust to that.
The detox.
And go through that process. And it took about 6 months, I think.
Yeah.
For that to take place. And not long after that, we were pregnant.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because, you know, with PCOS, like it, so you're probably like gearing up for it could take me quite a bit of time. I could need help. And wow.
Yeah, and we didn't want to wait, you know, once we were ready to start having kids, we didn't want to have to start that detox process, you know, 2-3 years out and then have another couple years before we actually got pregnant. So we were super excited that it worked out.
Yeah. And we were charting, going through the charting, and that was really powerful. That helped us out a lot. And we were actually able to pinpoint, here's literally the date of conception. And so going into doctor's office appointments, that was just a really, really powerful tool for us to have and to be able to say, okay, here's where
this is my due date.
This is the due date right here.
It's not changing.
Yeah. And, our baby boy Parker, he was literally born on the due date that we had marked.
That's so cool.
Super cool. Yeah. It actually happened. He was born on Mother's Day, which was such a cool
gift. Oh, I have
cool
a baby
gift.
That was too. That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
I love that. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. He was born like at 2 a.m. And so when we were in the hospital, it's like, okay, you know, it's 11:45. I was like, let's hold off 15 more minutes. And then we passed that midnight. And I was like, okay, cool. We're going to have a Mother's Day baby.
I love it. That's so fun. Yeah. Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about your pregnancy then, Alicia. It sounds like you knew right away that something was different.
Yes.
So what was that
That's
like?
That's where charting was super empowering, because I knew my temperature went up and I was like, I'm pretty sure. I was able to know like what was normal for my cycle and knew pretty quickly, hey, we've got a long 2 weeks ahead of us before we can test.
Yeah. But, for moms that are listening, would you mind just really briefly giving an explanation of what you did for charting, what that is?
Yeah. So it's under the umbrella of natural family planning, and there's different methods you can use. We did SymptoPro, which monitors lots of different symptoms. So you kind of have that certainty that you've got multiple sources that are all telling you the same thing of when you're fertile, when you're not fertile. And so with PCOS, it kind of just gave us that security blanket of knowing, okay, this is what's going on in my body. And it gives you so much knowledge. I would recommend everyone learning how to chart just because you learn what's going on in your body, what's normal for you, what's not normal. And so that really gave us a lot of tools to be able to know what was going on.
Right. Yeah. And she did so good with that. Like every morning she was waking up at like 6 o'clock on the dot, took her temperature. And I kind of felt a little bad for her because I, you know, every morning I was waking up at 6 o'clock and I'm sitting here asleep the whole time, you know, her alarm might go off like, oh, it's time to do your temperature. Okay. I'm going to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
But it worked. It worked really well for us. So
that's awesome. Okay. So tell me about your pregnancy. So what, when you were like, I think I'm pregnant, what were those first signs for you?
So my temperature went up really quickly. Mm-hmm. Like you don't think that like decimals is that big of a deal, but when you're charting, you're like, oh my gosh, my temperature went up 0.5 degrees. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
So that was a big indicator. And then also knowing, you know, having about, gosh, 8 or 9 months of like history of charting and kind of knowing what was normal for me, and then having a pregnancy happen, I was able to know like, okay, I normally don't have breast tenderness till after, you know, or before. And that was one of my first symptoms. And I was like, this is not normal to be happening at ovulation. And it did not go away for a few weeks. And so that was my big, like, this isn't normal. And honestly, I think that was just the two things, my temperature and breast tenderness. And then in 2 weeks, we were able to take a test. And so it was pregnant right away.
And I kind of nerded out on her. It's like, okay, we got your chart history here and your temperature's gone up. It's a percentage change of this. So yeah, I think you probably are pregnant. I was just, you know,
that's awesome.
Doing data analysis. So yeah, I was totally geeking out on that.
That's fun. Yeah, that's awesome. So what was pregnancy like for you? Was it pretty straightforward? Did you have anything come up? Were you really nauseous the whole time? Like, what else did you deal with?
So I had a pretty mild pregnancy. I never really got sick. I had just nausea that I just had to make sure I didn't have an empty stomach. So that was a blessing. Definitely didn't feel like I could complain to other pregnant moms because I was like, this is pretty easy compared to what a lot of people go through. The most difficult thing was towards the end. I was measuring pretty big. I'm very short waisted. I have no waist. And so I was expecting it. Even though they don't really agree with that, they say that doesn't really play into, you know, into effect. But, I was measuring 43 weeks at my last appointment. And my doctor said, you need to mentally prepare for a C-section. He was okay with me waiting to try and, you know, go into labor on my own. Very flexible provider, wanted, you know, just wanted us to be informed of what the likelihood of things happening or not happening, but was open to do what we wanted to try. So he just said, you know, there's a good chance we're going to have to do a C-section if he gets stuck. And so,
yeah.
That was a little bit of a concern, you know, kind of affected our day. But then that was on a Thursday. And then Friday evening, I went in to early labor. And I just totally forgot all about that possibility. Fortunately, I don't know. It went from my mind. And we were able to deliver vaginally with no problem. That's he was awesome. Just a very long little baby. So,
yeah.
Yeah, as our doctor said, we want a giraffe, not a Michelin man.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, dang, man, okay. And I think that's what really helped with us having the chart and knowing, you know, we were at 40 weeks, not 43. I think we just kind of had that confidence to say, okay, I think we're going to be able to have our baby the way we plan to have him. So that really helped. It gave us a lot of confidence.
Yeah, 100%. I love when you do have that. You have that on your side, not just for the providers, but for yourself to know, like, I'm not making an unsafe or, you know, like, I can trust my own judgment here. I think that's really important. I had a question that just totally just left. Okay. I was curious about your provider because you mentioned he is pretty flexible in all of this. You said that you listened to and got education, it sounds like, pretty early on. And I know that we talk about all the time, like, the importance of a good provider. Did you just get lucky that first time? How did you find your provider? Did you reach out to other people? Did you interview a few?
So I've actually been to like 4 different OBGYNs. And the first 3 were just kind of pushy in some of their stances and their beliefs. And after doing some of my own research or just not feeling comfortable, was like, this isn't what I need to be doing. Mm-hmm. I need someone that's going to be, you know, a better fit. And so once we switched to doing the natural family planning, I wanted to find someone that was going to be open to that and not closed off. And so typically, natural family planning is kind of from a Catholic background. And so I thought, maybe if I find a Catholic provider, they'll be more open to it. If that's maybe something that they've encountered in their own faith. And so I was able to find through one of my friends, a Catholic doctor, and was like, well, just give it a try. You know, it was a little stressful, but I just said, let's just go for it. And This was the first male that I had gone to. I really was like, I don't want to go to a male, but maybe this will be different. And so I went, and it was a really great experience. I'm sure there are some things that, you know, are typical of, you know, every provider, that they will tell you what they've been trained to say and do. But he was always very open to whatever we wanted to try. We took our birth plan in probably at the very end of the second trimester. Mm-hmm. And walked through that with him, and we went through each little point, and, you know, lots of it was like, no problem, that's great, we can do that. Other things, you know, if he had an input, he would say, you know, hey, you know, you might need to think about this, talk about it, and we can talk about it, you know, at your next appointment. And so there were some things that we might have changed a little bit on our birth plan or just modified briefly. But he was really flexible with whatever we wanted to do. Yeah.
Something that I enjoyed with him is he was very, you know, transparent with us, very honest, and just seemed like an all around good doctor. I mean, he came very highly recommended. And I guess the fact that he was Catholic was kind of a plus that he, you know, was on board with what we were trying to do. What I enjoyed, I went with Alicia on several appointments, and on the first appointment, and I got this advice from the course was, I came in with a list of questions. Like, I was grilling this guy. I was like, okay, what's your episiotomy rate? How many, what's the percentage of patients with C-sections? I mean, I was just going through all those questions, and he actually seemed kind of like amused, like, oh, cool, this guy's asking me all these questions. And he had all the numbers. I mean, he just shot them out to us, and we really liked that. You know, he had, you know, good results, I think. So that helped make us really comfortable with going forward with him.
That's another awesome thing. I put on like a significant amount of weight during my pregnancy, none during the first trimester, which I was surprised, but then it all hit in the second and third trimester. And people would say, oh, it'll taper off as you get closer. It never did. And my doctor never, I asked him, I was like, do I need to be concerned? Like, I don't feel like I'm eating for 2, you know, I feel like I'm eating healthy. And he never gave me grief or anything about the weight gain. It's like, it's normal. Like, you're doing fine. And so that was really nice, because I've heard so many horror stories of doctors being so, you know, kind of callous when it comes to those things, that it's just one more thing for a pregnant mom to have to worry about and stress about. So that was nice.
Yeah. Well, I think what you just said is really important too, where it's just, you were already concerned about it. Like, you're kind of mulling this over. Is this normal? Is this whatever? And having somebody, a good provider that can say, you're doing okay. Like, I'm sure that was like, oh, like, the weight's lifted. You know, I don't have to worry about this thing anymore. I'll just keep doing, you know, keep going and focus on the labor and all the other stuff I have coming up. So that's huge. You did mention that you went through 3 other OBs. Will you talk for a moment, maybe just about those experiences, or what it was about those that made you choose another one and choose another one and choose another one, like what that was like?
So that was prior to even being married.
Okay.
It was more so for just like yearly appointments and PCOS and stuff like that. So that wasn't anything to do with pregnancy and those things. So it was just like being pushy about procedures when I was in high school that I didn't feel like this isn't standard procedure. I'm just here to get, you know, medicine. I'm not here to talk about STDs and all those different things, and just not getting a good vibe from that. Other things of just being really pushy about birth control and that you need to be on it and that you don't need to have periods and just things that I'm like, I don't think that's what is best. And just being a little concerned that that's what they're being, you know, told to tell patients that's okay when I don't think it is. And so, that's kind of what just led me to find someone else.
I like that. And I like that you took the time to ask around and kind of go with your gut on that. And that you landed with an excellent provider. Like the fact that like you can really land with a good provider the first time, but you asked the right questions and stuff to make sure that it was going to be a good relationship, both of you. And I think that makes such a big difference. So that's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an OB. So you gave birth in a hospital. Well, let me switch gears just for a second here, since I have Brady here.
Okay.
Tell me, Brady, did you go to doctor's appointments with her? Were you able to attend any of those? And what was that like for you?
Yeah. So especially at the beginning, I went to all of those and to the, I guess you call them the milestone appointments, you know, when they do like the ultrasound and everything. I didn't go to every single one, but I went to, I would say probably maybe a little over half of them. And that was good just to be able to hear what the doctor was saying to her to make sure that we're all on the same page and that, you know, we have the same plan going forward. But it was really cool. It was a really big emotional experience, a lot more emotional than I had realized it was going to be, especially on that ultrasound one, that very first one. Like that was a huge moment. I'll always remember that first time, you know, we got to see our baby, you know. So but yeah, it was a lot more emotion than I anticipated, and maybe that's just me, I don't know. Maybe I'm more emotional than I realized, but yeah, it was great, and I enjoyed just being able to just sit down with her and the doctor. So
and what was that like for you, coming from like dad's point of view, supporting her month to month and all of that? How did that feel for you? What kind of advice would you have for other guys going through that? Like, what stood out, I guess, as you were supporting her throughout that time?
Yeah, this might be a little vague, but I would say listen, like seriously, listen to what she is saying and just really, you know, be willing to try out different things. You know, it might be like today, this might be what we're planning on doing, but that plan can change depending on, you know, what we're going through with, you know, like for us going through the course and learning new things. And I think it really comes down to what mom is feeling and what, you know, mom really wants. And I do think it is a joint decision, but I think you really need to listen to mom here.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you.
You know, I love that. Don't sit there and try to offer your solutions. Just listen to mom.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me a little bit about both of you, what you did to prepare. So you listened to podcasts, you took the course. How did you take the course? Did you guys sit down and do it? Was it like you did it every week on the spot? Like you had a set date and time? Like what did that look like for you? And then tell me a little bit about how you use that information on your daily. So once we talk about that, I want to hear like what you did every single day or what you were really regular about that helped you both get prepared for this experience.
Yeah, so we did the course. We tried to do it like every week, you know, roughly. There was some times where it was like, hey, let's digest this a little bit before we jump into the next. I will say I did not do as good of a job with exercises as I would have wanted to. I was in hair school full time. And so by the time I got home, I was exhausted and would be ready to go to bed at 5 o'clock. And so, and I was on my feet all day. So that was pretty exhausting for me. We did try to do like all the different counter pressure which really helped. I feel like when we got to third trimester, that's when I felt like I can feel some of the relief that this is providing, since I'm already getting, I'm getting bigger and I'm having more pressure put on all my body. And so that was probably
when we had the most like counter pressure practice and trying the different techniques, cause she was able to see which ones were working and what she was most comfortable with. And so we were just kind of getting ready for that. Mm-hmm. I know when we were going through the courses, I was the note taker. So I literally had my legal nice. Pad and I was just writing down, okay, week one course, you know, such and such, and just going through and writing down, you know, everything that I could, so we can try to, you know, go through those notes together.
Yeah. Trying to meal prep and getting enough protein. You know, he was helpful with that because he cooks more often than I do. So he kind of took on that responsibility of, okay, let's get you some salmon and, you know, get you some vegetables and take care of, you know, the meal prep stuff. So that was very helpful. I had a birth playlist on Spotify that I would listen to a lot, just praise music and calm things. And I would probably almost daily, I would listen to it and just visualize the kind of birth that I was, you know, hoping to have. And, which was really great leading up to it. Unfortunately, I didn't even have a moment in the hospital to get my playlist going because how fast everything went. But I can still hear songs and I associate those songs with pregnancy and birth because I just listened to them so much during my pregnancy.
That's really neat. Were there things that you guys did together? So like there's labor rehearsals or relaxation practice or meditation time, or maybe it was just communication for you guys. Were there things that you found yourself doing pretty regularly that helped both of you leading up to that?
I would say reviewing our birth plan. You know, just we probably went over it probably, I'd say after the second trimester, probably weekly, we were just going through it and looking it over and talking about things. I don't know if we've mentioned this yet, but we really wanted to try to go unmedicated for the birth. And so just game planning for that. And
yeah, talking about what that might be like and talking about the unknowns and just kind of game planning, you know, this is what I think I'm going to want in that moment. But, you know, this might happen and then I might want this. And so I think communicating and just talking about, you know, what it will be like. And so that we're both kind of on the same page of how we're feeling about it all. We definitely prayed just about the whole experience, that it would be a good one and smooth. And that because I know I went into it thinking I'm going to have to fight really hard for what I want in this birth with the medical staff. And so that was kind of a stressor for me. And unfortunately, our nurse was awesome and really supportive. So we didn't really have to worry about that. But just praying that that would be a smooth thing.
That's awesome. How about in regards to stuff that you learned in the birth course and stuff? Was there something that was like your favorite thing? You're like, I didn't know this and I'm so glad that I learned, you know, whatever. Was there something that stood out to you? I want to ask both of you kind of individually or together. Sure. Like, was there something that really stood out to you that you're like, oh, shoot, I'm so glad I know this now?
There's so many. I think just what you guys have said in your podcast so many times, that you don't know your options. You know, if you don't know them, you don't have any. And so that kind of encompasses so many of the things, you know, of knowing that you can stand up, you can be in the shower, you can deliver on your side. You know, all those things, you know, you can say yes or no to all the different things, that you are an active member in the birth, not just someone in a bed being told what to do. So that was probably my biggest takeaway.
Yeah. No, you kind of stole my thunder there. Sorry. But yeah. Sorry. No, that was really, I think, powerful too, to know that, yeah, you don't have to do every single thing they're telling you to do. You know, like if you didn't want to wear a hospital gown, you know, if you want to deliver like wearing a nursing bra, you know, or a sports bra, there you go. Something that I really thought was really cool, since we were trying to go unmedicated, one of the things mentioned in the video, I think you guys referenced another, I forget her name.
I think it's Penny Simkin.
Penny Simkin.
Yeah. We went to some of her YouTube videos, and one of the things that was talked about was having a code word. So if you're going unmedicated, and here's your code word that, you know, this will allow you to vocalize whatever you need to do, if you need to scream and, you know, all that. Until you say your code word, we're not going to offer you medication. We're going to keep that temptation away. And so I loved that, because I was really nervous going into this, you know, trying to do it unmedicated for her. I was really nervous about that. But hearing that advice made me more comfortable. I was like, okay, I think we can, okay, I'm on board.
So. That's awesome. Yeah. Penny Simpkins, a dream. I'll put that, I'll make sure to get that link in the show notes for everybody listening. Okay. So you're getting closer to birth time. I'm going to assume you were 39 plus a couple of days when you had that final interview with your provider. And did you do any kind of vaginal exams during that time? Did you have any idea how close you were to things or what your body was telling you? And then what kind of labor preparation, if any, did you do coming up to that? Did you do red raspberry leaf, evening primrose oil, anything, acupressure points, massage, anything to encourage labor to begin? Okay.
So I actually competed when I was in hair school. I was doing a hair competition, and I made it to the state level, and I was 38 weeks pregnant when I went, and it was not in our home city. And so I was very nervous that I was going to go into labor. So I had them go ahead and do a cervical check at my 37 week appointment. And I was, I think I was maybe at a one, but I was like 70% effaced. And so I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I started researching, like, what does that mean exactly? And, you know, was worried that that meant it was going to be really, you know, soon. And I ended up not going into labor, but I was still like, it could happen anytime. And at my last appointment, it was on a Thursday, went ahead and had a cervical check again. And I was still, I wasn't even at a two, I don't think. I was still just maybe a one. And I had him do a membrane sweep. Pretty much, I think I might have started on Thursday, maybe Wednesday, I started pumping to do that nipple stimulation, and would just do like 5 to 10 minutes at a time. And then we had gone on a few walks, but that was really, I didn't do castor oil or any of that stuff. And then Friday evening, I was actually cutting my husband's hair, and I started feeling like period cramps. And I was like, this is so weird. Oh, and realized like, this is labor. And so I went to bed that night thinking, I'm going to go into labor tonight. Like, it's going to get intense once I've relaxed and gone to bed, and nothing. And so I woke up thinking, oh gosh, okay, that's a bummer. And so we went on a walk. I still pumped, even on Saturday. And I was able to take a nap. I was having contractions, but they weren't consistent. And this lasted all day Saturday. And I kept thinking, man, is my pain tolerance just really good? Like, do I need to be worried that, like, do I need to go? And we were watching a movie, and the movie ended, and I looked at my husband and I said, hey, time this next one. It feels like it's going to be kind of strong. And I'm leaning over the couch, and then my water broke.
Oh my gosh.
And so I was like, oh my gosh.
There's some intuition right there. I feel like this next one.
And it was instant. So I had been in early labor for 27 hours. And then the moment my water broke, everything happened. Baby was born within 5 hours after that. Mm-hmm. And I went and got in the shower and rinsed off, thinking that that was all the water that was going to come out. Not realizing that, oh, hey, you're still going to be a mess until this baby is born and you're cleaned up.
So while she was in the shower, I was going around the house crazy. Like, I had all her bags packed. I'm throwing them in the car, and come back and check on her. She's staying in the shower, and you could tell that she's in pain. I'm like, okay, let's get out of here. Let's get to the hospital. You know, so we take our path to the hospital, and we get to triage in the moment, and you were at a six.
I was at a six when we got to triage.
And we're probably like 30 minutes from her after her water had broke. So she's at a six. That's at amazing. Triage. So it was game on pretty quick. And it was
by the time we got to like our delivery room, I was at a seven.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we didn't even have time to like put her music on or anything. I mean, it's kind of funny. We packed like three bags and we realized afterwards we overpacked for this thing.
It was everyone does. Embarrassing. It was very normal. My husband and I on our second baby came in with like two full suitcases. Like we were just going to go to town. Like what were we thinking?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I actually ended up using one of the hospital wheelchairs to bring all our luggage in.
I love it.
Yeah. But it just sat in the corner the whole time. So that was kind of funny. But
we got to our delivery room and I think she had me get on the bed and she checked me and I was at a seven. And I said, I really need to go to the bathroom. And she was like, I don't think you do. I was like, no, please let me just go. I'll feel better. And so I go. And at that point, Brady takes the time to give her the birth plan and tell her, hey, we're going to do unmedicated. And I'm like stuck in the bathroom on the toilet thinking I can't get up and I couldn't talk. I couldn't verbalize. And in my head, I couldn't even think to like just clap to try and get their attention. Hey, I need help in here to get out. And, you know, quickly learned I did not need to go to the bathroom. Mm. This is just labor. And get back into the room. Finally, the contraction had passed. And then I threw up.
Yeah, so that's when I knew.
She has a funny.
Yeah, that's when I knew, like, this was game on. Like, we are in transition. Because ever since I met her, she's never once thrown up in front of me. Or even, like,
ever.
I'm nauseous. I'm a little sick. And she never has thrown up. Well, we had some chicken nuggets earlier that night. And then when she started throwing up, those chicken nuggets came out. And I was like, oh, this is real. Here we are. This is game on. And we had a great labor and delivery nurse. When we got into the room, she was like, I am not leaving you guys because you're so close. And so she was really supportive of everything. And she did such a great job. So I think we were really, really blessed to have her. And
she did an interesting thing. So I ended up, I made it. I was an eight the last time she had checked me. And then I got to the point where it just clicked in my head where I just felt like I can't do this. And all of my pain was in my tailbone, which surprised me. I was expecting it to all be in my stomach, but it was very minimal. It was all in my tailbone, which was just a weird, I just wasn't prepared for that. And with how quickly everything set on, I was never able to like get into a breathing pattern and to be able to relax. And so that was really hard for me. And eventually I said my code word and I was just like, please get here. You know, I'm already probably at a nine at this point. You know, I was really, I don't know if he's going to make it in time to give me an epidural. And he did. Mm-hmm.
So what I told people is, you know, when Alicia started vocalizing a lot of things, I did ask her, do you remember your code word? And she just looked at me straight in the face and said, yes, applesauce. the nurse looked at me and I was like, all right, game on, let's go. And I tell people, I was like, yeah, at that point, Alicia was kind of not in the room. She was dealing with
it. Mentally and emotionally, I was not there.
But I was able to get her for just a few moments just to, you know, have that brief conversation. And then, doctors came in and they were able to apply medication and everything. And that changed the demeanor of the room. Like everything kind of calmed down. And
You said that I came back at that point.
Yeah.
And was able to talk and. So it was definitely, you know, my goal to be unmedicated. I was really worried beforehand. Like, am I going to be really disappointed in myself that I didn't make it? And I was pleasantly surprised that when I, you know, after the fact, I didn't feel that way. Getting to go into labor on my own and have my water break on its own, be able to feel what a normal contraction feels like without Pitocin. I was actually that was enough for me. I felt really happy with that. So that's been really, really good. Now for the next one, I don't know what I'll do. I might try unmedicated again and try to do more relaxation practice and do a better job at that to prepare better. But it was pretty good. Our nurse did do a tug of war with us when we were doing labor, which was really great. Our baby was really high in my pelvis. And so just trying to get him to navigate down, I held onto a sheet and pulled it as she was, you know, restraining it. And that helped a lot.
Yeah. And you really wanted to be able to be on your left side when pushing. And so the nurse was able to let her be in bed and be on the left side. And while she was doing the tug of war, my job was to hold my hand underneath her right leg and kind of pull that up like towards the head of the bed. We probably did that for about an hour. And you have a funny story about that when the...
Yeah, well, we're doing this and I'm not really facing my husband. He's kind of over, you know, on my other side. And the nurse at one point asks, "Are you doing okay?" to Brady. And in my head, I'm thinking, why would he not be okay? Like, what's like, I'm the one in the bed. And then I realize, oh, it's because he's holding probably, you know, 60 pounds of my leg.
I've been holding my leg and trying to brace my other at the bed with my other arm, and my shoulder started shaking. I'm like, yeah, my shoulder really hurts, guys. And they're like, nah, you can't say anything right now.
Yeah, you're fine.
You just shut up.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, can I take it back just a little bit to the beginning here? So you said you had a good 27 hours where it was like super early onset of labor. So tell me a little bit. I know moms are going to be curious. You described them as period cramps. Did it continue on that way before your water broke, or how did it change? And with those contractions, were they spaced pretty far apart? How long were they lasting? What did that look like for you?
So they felt just like period cramps in the beginning. I mean, it was
in the front.
That's why I didn't
in the back, both
in the front,
in the front.
And that's why I really didn't think like, oh, labor. It was just like, this is so weird. I'm having period cramps. You know, because it had been, you know, 9 months since I'd had one. So that's really what they felt like. But then I feel like, I don't remember exactly, but I feel like they didn't feel like period cramps as the time went on. They felt like this is a contraction, but they were mild. I feel like briefly on, you know, the next morning, I felt like we were able to start getting into a pattern. We were using the app that you guys recommend. I can't think of what it's called right now.
Full term.
Yes. Yeah, we were using that to monitor them. And I was thinking, okay, cool. We're getting, you know, they were about 5 minutes apart, but then it changed. And it was like, now it's 7 minutes apart. And so they were really sporadic, and I was able to take like an hour long nap. And so I was like, I didn't wake up once. So I was like, these can't be that bad if I'm able to nap.
My pain tolerance is really high.
I was getting frustrated because they weren't, you know, they weren't going anywhere and I couldn't get a pattern established. And so I kind of took a break from trying to, you know, monitor them because it wasn't telling me anything. And so just trying to like keep myself preoccupied, watching, you know, movies, going on a walk, going outside for a little bit, because I was just getting annoyed that nothing's happening and I'm not in much pain, but I can tell I'm in early labor. Like, when is this going to start going somewhere?
Yeah.
And I think another thing that was really important for us too, is we didn't want to go to the hospital too early. You know, that was some important advice that we got from the course. We just did not want to spend an entire day there to where they get to the point that says, hey, you're failing to progress, you know?
So right. Okay. So early on, and you're kind of moving around the house or sleeping or walking around or whatever, how were you dealing with those contractions? Were you breathing? Did you need Brady nearby you?
They were easy. That's why it was so frustrating, because I'm like, all right, like when's it going to get hard? Because like, it's, you know, I lost my mucus plug that morning. Mm-hmm. And so I kept thinking, okay, cool. This is going to be it. Like anytime now. And so I think I was just really impatient, and it really was, I mean, it was just more of an annoyance than painful, you know, just like, okay, like how extreme is this going to be for me when it's actually, you know, and not knowing how far I was, you know, how, what my cervix was at, you know, it was hard to know, like, am I at a one still and how much longer? Yeah. So yeah.
And then you have this big contraction and your water breaks. And then do contractions completely switch how they were feeling from before?
Yeah.
And how did they feel after?
So when I, you know, that's my struggle, was figuring out like exactly when a contraction would start and when it would end. It was really hard for me to decipher, like, you know, okay, I think it's over now. Because it would just really be, you know, subtle, and then it would kind of taper off. And so when I felt the strong one coming, I was like, this one feels different. Get ready when I tell you to start the timer. And then literally I told him to start, and I felt like, I don't even know what it felt like.
Yeah. I mean, your whole body
was like a pinprick.
You just shook.
A really strong pinprick. And then my water broke and my whole stomach kind of got tight. Even like the appearance I felt like looked kind of tight. And, really, I mean, I would say once we got to labor and delivery, the contractions were on top of each other, and I was not able to talk at all because there was no rest. But up until then, from my water breaking to getting to labor and delivery, I mean, it was very focused. I mean, where I would be vocalizing and I would be able to say a few things in between contractions, but not much, you know, just bare minimum of what I was able to say or need to say. But that is something that with our next, I've already told him, hey, I'm going to need you to like give me options, because I couldn't talk for myself. And like one example, I was leaning over the hospital bed and I was like, I really wish this bed was a little bit higher up. I think it'd be more comfortable on my back since that's where I'm feeling all of the pain, but I couldn't get it out.
Yeah.
And so like, hey, you're just going to need to like shoot off some things, ask me questions that I can just, you know, nod or shake my head.
And now I know those beds can go up and down.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would definitely help to be just given some verbal questions that I don't have to give a verbal, you know, sentence answer.
Sure. And then Brady, how were you supporting her during that time? I mean, were you keeping track of contractions? Do you guys have any idea once the water broke how close they were together? It sounds like you said on top of each other, so pretty close.
They were on top of each other right when the water broke. So we stopped tracking at that time. So we got her to the hospital and we got admitted to the room. It's pretty much trying to do counter pressure most of the time at that point. Just me and the nurse were, you know, trying all the different pressure points. And I think they were working a little bit, but she was...
The nurse was really good at them. I was like, do what she's doing. She's hitting it right on.
Yeah.
Once again, awesome. I'm like, my arms really hurt, babe. But yeah, I would say just doing the counter pressures was the main thing I was doing. And then being able to... you know, before that, get the nurse on board with our birth plan. Well, one thing I'll add is on our birth plan, we didn't have like a lot of words. We did like visuals.
A visual one.
Mm-hmm. And I think that really helped in the moment, just to point to, okay, here's what we want to do.
Yeah.
You know, instead of trying to explain it all.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so you'd mentioned tailbone pain. I'm curious at all, was baby sunny side up? Were they just normal position?
I was really concerned about that too, because I had heard that from your podcast. And but baby was fine. He was in a good position. He was really high up, surprisingly. He was like, I think at a 3 when we got to the hospital, even though I was already so far progressed. So yeah, he was fine. He was 22 inches long, so he was really, really long baby. He was 8 pounds 14 mm-hmm. ounces. Mm-hmm. So he was a big baby.
Yeah.
But there was no C-section was totally out the window. He came no problem.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, and then how did postpartum go? So like you did your tug of war, did the birth go mm-hmm. okay? Like no issues that way, no complications.
Yeah. The birth went, pretty easy. I only had a second degree tear. The doctor, he did great.
We were lucky too. Our doctor was a doctor on call that night.
So yeah.
Very cool.
That helped a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, things went really well. My sister's a lactation consultant, so I had, her on 24/7 call for any kind of nursing questions that I might have had. And that was, that's probably the most challenging was just getting, the nursing to be figured out. But as far as like my healing and everything, it went really well. Just like the normal, getting used to the hormones changing and getting back to normal and figuring out what your body is trying to do. Those were kind of things that I already was expecting to happen that were just kind of a nuisance, but time is just what you need to adjust.
Yeah. And you mentioned too, Alicia, you said you were concerned about how you were going to feel about getting the epidural, but you didn't feel that way. Will you talk mm-hmm. just for a moment kind of about that and maybe speak to other moms that may be worried about going through that as well during their labor?
Yeah. So I'm a pretty competitive person. Like when I care about something, I'm very competitive. And so our first argument in our married life was over a card game. So so when I care about something, I'm very like, this has got to be the way I want it to be. Mm. And so I was very concerned, are you going to be really mad at yourself if you aren't able to handle it? And I feel like I have a pretty high pain tolerance. So I was like, you can do it. And I just wanted to prove it to myself. It wasn't really for anyone else. It was just like, I want to be able to say that I did it, that I set the goal and that I made it. And, I really, he would, say that he was concerned about how I was going to do and how I would treat myself, depending on the outcome. And he would ask me like, what are you going to do if you end up getting an epidural? Like, how are you going to handle that? And I remember saying like, I don't know, like I'm probably going to be upset. And,
And I tried to reassure her. I was like, look, people outside of this, they're not going to be concerned about that. Like the fact, if we have a happy, healthy baby, that's really all that matters. And, it's not a competition, So I was trying to reassure her,
Like no one cares if, it's okay. Like that's not what you're going to remember.
Yeah.
So I was just really glad that, because the big fear was Pitocin and being induced and having a C-section. Those were like the big things. And I was like, I do not want any of that to happen.
Yeah.
And so, being very fortunate that was not the birth that I had, that I was still able to, be at home for a long time and experience my water breaking on its own. And getting to know what real contractions feel like without, having Pitocin pushed on you and being on their timeline instead of baby's timeline. So I think that was how I was able to, give myself grace. I really didn't have to like coach myself down afterwards. It was just a natural like, hey, that was a good birth.
Yeah.
I'm happy with how that happened. Yeah. So.
And now I'm like, babe, you went from being on the couch to a 9 in like 2 hours. That's huge.
Yeah, that's a fast birth. Yes.
Yeah. So now my fear is the next one would be a car delivery.
Car baby.
I'm like, please no.
Oh. Okay. Well, thank you. This has been such a great time. I know women are just going to eat this up and hopefully dads too. Before you guys leave, will you take a moment and give your absolute best advice for moms and dads from both of your perspectives?
Goodness.
Like if you had to say one thing to moms that are listening, what would be the best advice you could give them?
I would say like, do your research, do your homework and find what's important to you. because some women are going to be fine with certain things and others won't be. And so you're going to have your own priorities. And so communicate that with your spouse or your significant other and be on the same page and go forward accordingly.
Yeah. And my advice to dads is when talking with mom, don't just hear, but listen, listen to her. And don't try to offer your typical male solutions. Here's what I would do. Here's how you need to do this. No, listen to mom and just be as supportive as you can be.
And having the knowledge too, because it wasn't just me knowing what was going on in the labor. He knew what was going on too, and knew what to look for, and knew you're in transition, and that provides a comfort to me or to the mom.
Yeah.
That I'm not alone. It's not me and the nurse. It's me and my husband and the nurse.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge. I think it gives a lot of power to dads to have that knowledge instead of feeling like, oh, I don't know exactly what's going on. And so, we're stuck listening to or having to agree with whatever is coming at us, not having that ability to be like, actually, I'm kind of aware of the situation here and I know what happens internally and I kind of know what the monitors are saying. Like, you have all of that kind of mulling around in your head to be able to form a better picture of like how to support mom through that process. So, yeah, I think both of you spoke like just truth to other people listening about how you can really support each other through that process. Because, I'm sure it was, next to some other things that we do in life, like this is one of those bonding things, having a baby together. There's nothing like it. And working through the labor process together in a good way where you know how to love and support each other. I mean, you come out the other side and you're like, nothing in this world could have bonded us the way that just did, So it's pretty powerful.
Yeah. And another, and just to, I want to share this little story with you real quick. As we were going through labor, one of the things the nurse had commented on, the baby was starting to crown a little bit, and she was like, oh, he's got a lot of hair. And Alicia, was like, oh, I want to see, do you have a mirror?
I was undecided if I wanted to see anything. And that's what I was like, he's got hair? Really?
I want to see that.
And so she goes, do you have a mirror? And the nurse goes, oh, you want the mirror?
I'm expecting like the little, like a handheld.
No, it's like this 6 foot tall wooden thing from 1985. They wheel it in. It's this big mirror. And it
just my goodness.
And anyway, it was just such
I was like, well, babe, I guess you're getting to see it all too. Yeah. If you didn't want to.
Oh, yeah. And it was super exciting. It was super exciting to be able to just see the top of his head and everything. And so I just love that little part of
it was exciting to be like, oh my gosh, it's happening, like he's almost here, he's almost in my arms.
I think that was a big motivator for her too. So
that's cool. Well, thank you both for your guys's time, for your story, for your wisdom. I really appreciate that, and I'm grateful that you guys were able to join me here today.
Thank you
If you loved what you heard today, the very best way to support this podcast and help other moms to find it is to leave a quick review. I read one at the beginning of the episodes, and I would love for yours to be next. And if you're ready for even more pregnancy, birth, and postpartum goodness, come join me in the My Essential Birth course at myessentialbirth.com, where I will hold your hand and walk you through pregnancy and birth step by step so you're totally prepared for a birth you'll love. See you next week.